It is an absurd country for supplies, though canteens are arriving now. I think the poorer people live entirely on polenta, a heavy, tasteless, fat yellow cake which they make themselves, and an inferior species of vino which is rather too potent for the men who would drink it as though it was beer when they first got here. I don't know whether I am glad to be here or not. The novelty was good for a time, but yet, in a way, it is all the same because there is no known future, and the end is not yet. Why do you want me to get married? A most improbable occurrence. Anyhow, there will be no chance for a very long time. I wish I could see you again. It is so long since I did that we shouldn't be able to talk properly for about half an hour. It has been a rotten year in many ways. Geoffrey and Tar dead, and we've seen each other about a week, all told. And it seems so much more than 2 years ago since Roland was killed. Tomorrow I will think of you whenever I can, and our love for him may lessen the miles between us. What a long war this is. It seems wonderful to have lived so long through it when everyone else is dead. Good night, dear, dear child. Ever your Edward. Dearest Mother, when I do come home, I will certainly let you come and kiss me goodnight, as you always used to do. It was only a foolish schoolboy who thought he was too old for it, when he was really too young to appreciate it.
24th General, France, 10th of January, 1918. Dearest Mother, conditions at home certainly seem very bad. Everyone is servantless, no one visits anyone else or goes away, and food seems as hard to get hold of in other places as in London now. But do, if you can, try to carry on without being too despondent. For goodness sake, don't talk about going downhill. For the great fear in the army and all its appurtenances out here is not that it will ever give up itself, but that the civil population at home will fail us by losing heart, and so, of course, morale. Just at the most critical time before America can really come in and the hardships of the winter are not yet over. Here the cold is intense, and to make matters worse, our oil ration has temporarily run out. The other morning I came off duty in a blizzard to find that the wind had blown open my window and my whole room and bed were covered several inches in snow, just like outside.
France, 12th of January, 1918. Just got leave. Can you get it too?
A humane matron put in for my leave immediately. A dull and prolonged crossing made me feel so ill that I hardly knew how to bear it. Edward, who had arrived from Italy 4 days earlier, had gone to Victoria to meet me, but in the dark confusion we missed each other. I reached Kensington in a state of collapse. After a week of feverish misery, I began to feel better. But I had spoiled Edward's leave, and by the time I was able to go out, he had only 3 days left. I had missed so much of his society that I broke my resolution to avoid stations and saw him into the return leave train for Italy at Waterloo.
It was certainly a great pity about that leave. I wonder where we shall meet next time. Very glad to hear that the publisher Erskine MacDonald was so favourable in his criticism of your poems. It is rather unusual, I should think, for him to half-finance a first volume of any sort. Nothing very exciting is happening here. We are right now under a mountain famous about 6 weeks ago, and doing working parties. The change of scenery is rather pleasant. It seems to me that it is the mountains and nothing else which have made Italy renowned for its beauty.
For nearly a month, the camp resembled a Gustave Doré illustration to Dante's Inferno. By day, a thudding crescendo in the distance. By night, sharp flashes of fire in the sky. Nearer at hand, a ceaseless and deafening roar filled the air. Motor lorries and ammunition wagons crashed endlessly along the road. Trains with reinforcements thundered all day up the line. The stretcher cases came to us in their trench-stained khaki.